shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Don't label us left or right.
We are American.
Not looking for a war, but we came to fight.
We are American.
Somebody's gotta stand up.
Stand up.
Somebody's gotta do what's right. We're rising cause we're fed up. Got our house in order and got yours in sight.
Good morning, Sovereign Minds. My name is Mark Kent, and I'm your host, as usual. Today is, what is today? It is January 4th, 2014. We are in the new year. Happy New Year to everybody out there in Shasta County. And we'd like to thank our sponsors, all the people out there that have been supporting us. We do have a fundraiser coming up here pretty soon
in March,
so we'll be giving you guys more information on that. What else have we got going here? Have you got any veterans events?
I do. I just got an email, I think it was yesterday, that the Honor Guard is putting on a spaghetti feed at the Anderson VFW on January 25th at 1600 hours. And it's $5 a plate. And they're the ones that go out and help with the honors out at the cemetery. So they're just looking for a little bit of help. So if you can attend that, that'd be great. Again, that's a spaghetti feed at the VFW Hall in Anderson on January 25th.
I guess I should let everybody know I'm here in the studio. We have our guest with us today, Gary Cadd from the City Council.
Good morning.
Good morning, Gary. And we have Savannah back from her skiing hiatus in South Dakota. She's back.
Looks like she wishes she was still there.
No.
It's only 40 below. And my sister Linda.
Good morning.
Good morning. So let's see. All of our shows are archived and podcast, and I highly recommend that you friend me on Facebook, or I've got a Twitter feed going now. I've had it actually going for some time, but I'm actually getting to the point where I know how to use it. And that is, I got two of them. It's Tea Party Tatanka and Got Tea. So if you want to get onto those Twitter feed. You want to tweet me on a Twitter feed?
Yep, that's where it gets confusing.
Yeah, say that 10 times faster. You know, it's like shave a cedar shingle thin. Okay, so let's see. We have does anybody know what's on We the People tomorrow?
No, I don't know what's on We the People tomorrow.
Maybe we can find that out before the end of the program here. We have Reading Tea Party Monday night.
Monday night, I believe, is Gary Moore from the Veterans Home coming out and talking to us and letting us know what the updates and what's going on out there, the Veterans Home.
Okay, very good. Let's see. I didn't prepare super well this morning because I got caught up into a bunch of CalPERS stuff, you know. And I guess we're going to talk about that a little bit. And
vicious circle.
Yeah, the unfunded liabilities for the city. And then I think we also are going to talk about this McConnell land deal over here at Turtle Bay a little bit and figure out what's going on there. So, like I say, I got a little bit wrapped up this morning in this CalPERS thing. And so I didn't go through my usual headlines, but I'm just amazed when I start looking at this CalPERS investment stuff for the state. You know, what they have their money in and what they're basing their investment strategies on. You know, climate. I highly recommend anybody who hasn't seen the CalPERS site to go. I mean, I'm looking at a public report. It's called Climate Change Scenarios: Implication for Strategic Asset Allocations. So all you guys that were invested in CalPERS out there for your retirement fund, did you know that they were basing their investment decisions on global warming strategies?
That's a scary thought.
Yeah. Well, you know, and as you're looking at that, Mark, CalPERS owns a building in the downtown Sacramento area. It's right next to the Capitol somewhere down there. It's a $100 million building. And they had a project for it, and it fell through, and it looks like they may wind up losing that $100 million.
Wow,
I'm
shocked.
That was over a year ago. Well, and this happens. So every time that they lose money, our...
Your unfunded liabilities go up.
Unfunded liabilities go up.
That's what's so scary about this, Gary, is you look at this thing. I mean, I'm looking at the, you know, the people they're thanking in this project here. Mercer wishes to thank the following organizations and individuals for their contributions to the project. This research would not have been possible without support, blah, blah, blah. So they're talking about these project participations and participants. And, okay, we've got International Finance Corporation. The next one is the Carbon Trust, United Kingdom. So these are the guys that are,
wow.
Yeah, the Carbon Trust, is helping them do investments. British, telecom pension scheme. And I think it goes on. There's about 10 of them. Really? I mean, this is the guy, this is their strategy down there at, CalPERS guys, you know, this is their team of, people that are, you know, analyzing the best way to get a return on your retirement plan by international investing through climate change, corporate stuff. Really?
Hmm. Yeah, Mark, that last July, City Manager Starman and I were down in Sacramento to League of California Cities meeting. And, the month before I had asked the League to invite the, head actuarial for CalPERS to attend the meeting. The fellow's name is Alan Milligan. And he did attend the meeting. He put on quite a presentation. And then when he got through, there were about 50 of us there. I think it was the vice mayor of the city of Sacramento was there. And, there were some lowball questions asked. And then I started questioning him. And I have studied CalPERS inside out. So I have pretty good knowledge of it. And, when he got all through, I spoke with him and he told me, he said, Gary, we need to hear your voice down here in Sacramento. You need to come down to our meetings. We have meetings on Monday, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays. Well, Tuesday's the day that would be most, interesting for me to be there and for the city of Reading. There's only one problem. It's the third Tuesday of the month, which is the Tuesday that we have a city council meeting. So I wondered at the time if he knew that, because that's the reason why no city people ever show up at their meetings to talk to him and try to talk some sense into him.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at this thing. Here's quotes from the partners on why they participated in the research. The climate change poses significant financial and economic risks that have only been accentuated by the tens of billions of dollars in losses due to recent climate-related natural disasters such as floods in Australia, Pakistan, wildfires in Russia. This study makes a significant contribution to our ability to measure the level of risk that climate change creates for investment portfolios. Really? These are the guys that are managing this fund? Are you serious? Managing that risk in a way that maintains the returns expected by beneficiaries is crucially responsible for the management of those investment portfolios. This report provides some practical steps that investors can take to shift their asset allocation to manage climate change risk and finance the much needed infrastructure for a lower carbon future.
And this is CalPERS. Just let me check.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable. This is CalPERS that back in the earlier, end of the 90s and into the 2000s turned around and says, oh, we've got tons of money. We're going to go ahead and allow the unions to tweak their retirement plans. And oh, and by the way, when we do it, we're going to make it retroactive to day one that the person hired on with the city or the county or the state, whichever it is. This is where this 200 folks, $200 million short fund and pensions comes from between CalPERS and PARS, because the city of Reading has got two different pension plans. Some employees have both. Some employees have just one.
Wow. I'm just absolutely flabbergasted, to say the least, about, you know, I had no idea that they were basing their investment strategies for your rate of returns on your retirement funds out there, you guys that work for the city, the county, and the state, on global warming strategies and carbon credits. Mm-hmm. I mean, how screwed up? Here's another, this is another quote here. This is from David, Duclade, I guess is how you pronounce his name. And head of, this is the head of investor engagement, the Carbon Trust. This report is unique and groundbreaking in quantifying the increased portfolio risk from global efforts to tackle climate change. It demonstrates that unless the risk is tackled intelligently by increasing the exposure to climate-sensitive asset classes, then the long-term reward could fall.
There goes your retirement.
The findings undermine the notion of a conflict between green investments and acting in the beneficiary's long-term financial interest. This will have profound implications for fiduciary duties and place clear obligations to increase analysis of their consequence of climate change for portfolio management.
Right. Now, wow. When you get through reading there, I'd like to frame this issue very quickly and bring it home, because okay. There's more to this issue than what we're touching here right now. You're hitting right on the site. You're reading what they've got on the site and what and how they're doing their investing. And
their strategy.
Their
yeah.
strategies, okay. But there's another thing.
Not to interrupt you, but, you know, I always thought typically you invested for rate of return so that you could, you know, not lose money.
But see, you don't have to do that because they're not going to lose money, because if they lose any money, where do they go?
They go back
to the city and say, hey, city, we lost money last year. You're going to have to cough up an extra half a mil and a half, or whatever it's going to be. This is where this is coming from.
This sounds like this is a purposeful way to break the cities. Anyway, let's go to a break.
All right. If you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, Gene 60.
Well, it used to be easy to get a place, build a house. Now the EPA said, no, that's the home of the blue mouse. Don't tread on me. Don't you tread on me. We're going to use some common sense and we're going to take back our country. Well, they beaten to death that whole race horse. This politically correct thing has run its course.
Hello, Shasta County. This is Kurt Largent from Sheldon Largent Realty, and these are difficult times in our economy. It's difficult times in real estate, and people have lots of questions. Should I sell? Am I upside down? What is a short sale? What's cash for keys? What do I do if my house is sold on the courthouse steps? For answers to these questions and many more, please tune in Saturday from 9 to 10 here on KCNR 1460 AM to the Kurt Largent Radio Show. We talk about all things real estate. Brought to you by Jeterbilt Construction, Megastar Mortgage, Trinity Pest Control, and Sheldon Largent Realty.
Hi, Linda Bott here. Join me every Thursday night at 6 p.m. right here on KCNR 1460 AM for On the Spot with Linda Bott. Find out what's hot and what's not. We talk about fun, film, fashion, food. Brought to you by Dandelion, Crackmaster, Mount Shasta Mall, Anselmo Vineyards, and Estate Granite. On the Spot, Thursday, 6 p.m. right here, KCNR 1460 AM.
Everywhere around the world.
Hi, I'm Elizabeth Woodward.
And Aaron Ryan.
We'd like to have you join us on Sunday mornings from 8 to 10 a.m. on KCNR 1460 for We the People Talk Radio. We are all things fiscal responsibility, limited government, and adherence to the Constitution.
You know what? We've done programs on federal and state land use issues, governmental overreach, family values behind the green mask, Second Amendment and other constitutional issues, technocracy and the smart grid, the monetary system, of course, spending, taxes, and debt, topics that fall under We the People. We want to know what topics you would like to hear about. Email Aaron at wethepeopleradio.us for more information. Bust on to wethepeopleradio.us, and the archives are there for your listening pleasure.
We the People Radio, bringing to you topics that affect you no matter where you live. Come join the previously silent majority.
See you Sunday.
We the People, Sunday mornings 8 to 10 on AM 1460 KCNR.
Thank you.
Nevermind Radio. We're back. Yeah, it's how long has this been going on?
A long time.
For sure. Global warming, you know, a ship of researchers looking for evidence to support global warming myth got stuck in the ice. Antarctica. You notice they didn't mention that they were actually global warming scientists on any of the news programs. They only said that they were a group of scientists down there that got stuck in the ice. Yeah. Just a little factoid. They forgot to mention they were all global warming scientists. They went down there to actually see that the ice was disappearing.
Well.
Ouch. That's kind of smart.
And their boat is still there.
Yeah, they might actually get out this week at some point in time.
Well, the folks that were actually down there doing this research have been taken off the boat, and they've been a Chinese helicopter flew them over to an Australian boat who may wind up getting stuck because they're not completely out of it yet.
Yeah, but the ship's still stuck in the ice. It doesn't exist down there because of the global warming.
It's only about 20 feet deep. But that's
Does the what was that movie, Ship of Fools, or what was that about? But I'm not sure Good name. I think they should make this an annual event.
Yes.
Anyway, go ahead and frame what you want, Gary. And then we have Terry on the line as well. I think he has a question. Or should we just get Terry on here and let him ask the question?
Let Terry get on here.
Good morning, Terry. How you doing?
Morning, Terry.
Hey, guys. This is great stuff. You know, this is really good. It's what we need in local radio, what you two are bringing out here. Good job, Mark.
Thanks a lot, man.
But, Gary, I have just four things I want to bring up, and I'll just take my answers off the line. Number one, you know, a summation on this stuff. You know, really, the summation on this. Number two, the effect this is going to have on the city, the effect it's going to have on the citizens of the city, and the effect that this is going to have on the county. Number three, where in the heck are the rest of the people on the city council? Why are you the only one that's really diving into this when it seems to me like it's a very critical problem? And number four, what is the solution and what can we do about it? And I'll just take all my answers off the air. And again, guys, this is great. Thanks for doing this.
All right, thanks a lot, Terry.
I'm going to toss the ball up here to you, Gary. You're the one that knows this stuff.
Terry, you're right on the money. In my framing the issue is going to answer it. Now, first thing I'd like to say is I have a 2-page little report here that I put together some time ago that documents what I'm talking about. And it needs to get out into the public. So if you are a business owner and you'd like to know more about what's going on with the city, you can give me a call. If you are a member of a group that would be interested in some of this information, call me and I'll bring copies of this and you folks can see in writing, in your hands, exactly what I'm going to be talking about. Now, we have this $200 million unfunded pension. Plus, on top of that, we have about $107 million that's unfunded on post-retirement health care. But today we're talking just about the pensions. Now, the pension plan with CalPERS is unfunded. Now, CalPERS came out with what they called the smoothing letter. Really nice word, smoothing. They want to smooth these increases in on us. So starting in 2015, our payment to CalPERS will increase by $1.1 million. And then each year in the advance to 1920, it will increase by 1.1. So in 1920, the increase will be $5.7 million. Now, this is if we don't have any directed rate problems where they come up short on their investments, or there's a couple of assumptions which they're working on. One of the assumptions is the mortality rate. The pensioners are living longer, so they're going to have to increase that out, and CalPERS is working to do that as we speak. And then the directed rate decrease probably is not going to happen until next summer, maybe the end of the year, but it is coming to hurt us too. So we have two different possibilities here that I have set up. By 1920, we could be paying $10.1 million more to CalPERS for an additional 25 years. In other words, it's going to start in 15-16, accelerate to a total amount in 1920, then that total amount will continue for 25 years.
Where do we have the money in the City of Reading budget to pay an additional $10.1 million or the $15.1 million, depending upon what the assumptions are? And, folks, I'd love to tell you which one it's going to be, but CalPERS won't tell us, so we don't have any ideas, so that both numbers have to be here. But if we're going to take $15.1 million by 2020 out of the city and send it to CalPERS, we have one heck of a problem. We have one, excuse me, hell of a problem. This has to be addressed. And, folks, this is the reason why you people, you folks out in the community, I know I'm a city councilman, but I still consider myself being of the people in the community. We need to talk about this issue. The city of Reading's in trouble, and we need to be talking about what's going to be going on, because we do not have the money, and we've got streets that need to be fixed. We have water lines that need to be fixed. We have rainwater, sewer lines. I mean, I can go on and on and on about our infrastructure that needs work. And we're going to be paying all this money out on pensions. We have to be discussing this issue. And Terry, I hope that covered what you were asking me.
Yeah, where are we going? Solutions. I just had a couple of factoids here. I got, to add to the discussion here. This comes from the Howard Jarvis Taxpayer Foundation. This was published in 2013. And, you know, I'm scrolling down through here on the employment reports. And here's just some of the other problems. Now, we don't know if these are completely specific to Reading or just California, but it seems to me that some of this stuff is spread out across the board. Okay, you know, we got California $10 billion in debt because of unemployment benefits, $516 million, this comes from the San Jose Mercury, in bonuses paid to California state employees. And some of the reasons they got bonuses for included driving in an office carpool, having to meet deadlines, and riding a motorcycle. So they got bonuses for riding a motorcycle. Here's another one. This is from the California State Teachers Retirement System. Pensions liabilities doubled this is just the teachers' retirement, up to $166.9 billion under the new accounting rules designed for more accurate estimates. So we don't even know exactly where some of this stuff is at, because it's on a sliding scale. It's fluctuating, like we talked about with the smoothing and the rates. And so what's happening here is that, you know, we're getting deeper. If they start having losses at the level of CalPERS, and they're invested in stock and foreign debt and all kinds of things, bonds, you know, city bonds, for example, let's say that some of their city bonds are invested in Modesto and they take a haircut. Well, that's going to translate into a lower rate of return, which is going to translate into
owing more.
Exactly right. The city of Reading owing more. So that's where we're headed, it seems like to me. Now, what do you think the solutions are to that? I mean, do we just need more people to participate, or where do we need to go?
The solutions. We had a city meeting here a couple of months ago, and Mr. Starman put up on the wall several different options on this, and I didn't bring the list with me, and now I wish I had of. But I know that it's talking to the unions, and possibly, you know, we're going to have to ask them to pick up more of their pension payment, because we got to keep the city solvent, and we need more police in the street. We need fire guys.
Right.
More fire guys. We don't have the money.
Yeah, because I think what we need, I think you're totally correct when we say you need to talk about this now, because if we don't solve these problems, God forbid, what's going to happen is you're going to see the city get to a point where it's insolvent, and it's not going to have any choice but to renegotiate through a bankruptcy or something like that.
Mark, we need, the people of the city of Reading need to have a conversation. We need to discuss this issue. This is what, you know, this is what I'm talking about. We need to have a conversation. We need to talk about what the issue is as far as what we're talking about here, how we're going to go about it. We could start outsourcing jobs. I mean, it's not something I want to do, but I mean, when you're faced with this kind of a budget problem, you've got to do something.
Well, what I'm saying too is we're not targeting the unions as being the bad guys here at all. What we're trying to say is that this is a huge problem that is mounting.
And there's nothing being done to fix it.
And we don't want to see people losing their jobs or their benefits. At the same time, there has to be a realistic framework of some kind of a retirement plan that's solvent, that's not invested in some foreign government government's carbon credits or something.
Well, the biggest part of the problem that's adding to what I'm talking about really occurred back in probably 98 to 2004, somewhere in there. But then we have stuck our head in the sand, whether the council members didn't know this. Some of them tell me they did, but they didn't know it, or whether they just decided not to do it. But the union negotiators negotiated contracts with increases. And I'm not going to go through them now, but the police got a pretty good size from 05 to 11.
Well, and a lot of it's at the top. You know, I'm looking at same thing here from this Jarvis Gann. It says making $1,000, and I'm not saying this applies to anybody locally in Reading, but I think if we dug deep, you're going to find some of this graft at the, this legal way of getting paid, much more money than a lot of the other people at whatever level. Making $1,100 an hour must be nice. An analyst of a compensation paid to over 200 Bay Area special districts found elected officials were receiving as much as $1,100 an hour when compensation was compared to with the actual hours worked. A lack of oversight has also been allowed many officials to serve while they having conflict of interest with agencies over which they preside in many other states. So I'm saying that there's got to be some of this going on here, isn't there?
Well, I'd say yes. And the thing with it is, the Record Searchlight, they don't get along with me. I don't really get along with them. And I've given them this information and had quite a chat on the phone with one of their reporters, but they don't seem to want to report it. This isn't $200 million unfunded. We're in debt.
Well,
we've got problems, and the paper doesn't want to pick it up and do something with it.
And so we need to ask, why is the paper not reporting that? But we got to go to a break first.
All right. This is KCNR 1460, home of the Free Fire Media.
Stopped into a church, I passed along the way. Well, I got down on my knees and I began to pray. You know the preacher like the cold, he knows I'm gonna stay.
Hello, this is Dr. Todd Royce, your downtown Reading chiropractor. Join me every second Saturday at 10 a.m. for Positively Healthy Radio. We discuss almost any health topic you can think of from a different point of view than a pill for every ill and a potion for every emotion. Are you sick and tired of being sick and tired? Would you like to have more energy? Would you like to avoid the headaches, sicknesses, infections, and diseases that so many are seeming to get? We talk about all those topics and more every second Saturday. Join us at 10 a.m. on 1460 KCNR.
Allen and Dahl Funeral Chapels are locally owned and family operated since 1978. Our goal is to assist you with your questions and decisions in difficult times, treating you with respect, care, and understanding, as we would with our own family. We have a reputation for being honest and compassionate, and our rates being very reasonable. We have a menu of various services, from cremation to traditional paths. Let us be there for you and help you with the questions you may have. Even if you have already chosen another chapel service, that's just the kind of people we are. Always there for you. Allen and Dahl, with three locations to serve you. Reading, Anderson, and Palisadro. For more information or questions, call 547-4444. That's 547-4444. Allen and Dahl. Family, helping family.
Hello, Shasta County. This is Kurt Largent from Sheldon Largent Realty, and these are difficult times in our economy. It's difficult times in real estate, and people have lots of questions. Should I sell? Am I upside down? What is a short sale? What's cash for keys? What do I do if my house is sold on the courthouse steps? For answers to these questions and many more, please tune in Saturday from 9 to 10 here on KCNR 1460 AM to the Kurt Largent Radio Show. We talk about all things real estate. Brought to you by Jeterbilt Construction, Megastar Mortgage, Trinity Pest Control, and Sheldon Largent Realty.
Why don't we steal away into the night? I know
Yeah. Maybe we should stop right there. You know, we were talking over the break here a little bit, and I'm looking at the city. This is on the city of Reading's pension or wages and benefits spreadsheet. And I'm looking at, I don't even know how many here. I'm going to say it's got to be 30, 40 deep of the people getting paid. And I'm going to say the average is $190,000. I didn't figure it all out. Maybe even, you know, right around that though, I'm going to say an average of $190,000 per year with wages and benefit packages. And it just goes, you know, on and on and on and on here. Now, you know, we always hear this thing about, oh, gee, we got to attract the greatest guys to get here. But when the average population in the area is making $40,000 a year, how do you rectify that? That to me seems that, the public services are getting rich, and us out here in the private sector are turning into the peons. It's going to turn into the Zorro days where you got the Akal days and the peons. Mm-hmm. If we keep going this way. So let me ask you a question. If there was an increase in $1 to the employees on this pension change that we were just talking about, what's the end result of that? Where you want to go?
Oh, you mean you want to give an employee a dollar raise?
Yeah, if we give an employee a dollar raise, what is the repercussions of that?
Public safety would the pension would go up 47 cents. Okay. So a dollar raise we give them costs us $1.47.
So,
and then the other employees, which the city calls them miscellaneous, they're certainly not miscellaneous. We've got tremendous employees with the city. But the miscellaneous group would be roughly, it's over 40%. I'd say 41, 42%. So every time you give, they'll give you a 2% or a 5% raise. And you take that and convert it into a dollar amount, and then you have to add, take that dollar amount times 0.47 or 0.42, and that's the amount of money it's going to cost the city.
I just don't even see it. I mean, I got nothing against these guys, but when I see our city manager pulling in more than $250,000 a year, packaging between his wages and his compensation, can you say Bell, California? I mean, how do you spell Bell? B-E-L-L?
The pre-report you're looking at there is probably the most recent one. If I recall correctly, back in 2010, the one came out and the whole community got to see it. And I think the average city employee, the average, was $119,000.
Yep.
I mean, is it just me or does that seem a little high?
That's a lot. And then I heard something about they can sell their vacation pay back.
It's been done, yeah.
So how does that work? They don't take it, and at what rate do they sell it back to the city?
Well, I presume they sell it back to the city at the same rate that they would accept it. In other words, you have vacation time, you take a week off, you get paid a salary. So if you don't, then you sell that back.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. So where do you want to go from here, Gary? I know you had a few other things you wanted to touch on.
Well, I want to talk about the Turtle Bay. You had an article, okay. I think it was in the paper yesterday, and I'm not, the paper isn't talking to me about it. I sort of wish they would.
That was the other thing, you know, why no reporting, you know?
Yeah.
What's the?
But, well, the thing with it is here, we're looking at a piece of property that is owned by the city and has leases on it. But the moment, let's just picture this for a second. The city has made the deal and they're sitting at a desk. And McConnell Foundation folks are on one side and the city manager and the mayor are on the other side of the table. The contract goes back and forth and it's signed and then a check is pushed across the table from McConnell Foundation to the city. It's looking like it's going to be 106. Well, the three amounts are, city's amount is $443 million. McConnell Foundation is 75. And the third one is 175. So I gather it's going to be someplace between 75 and 443, somewhere along the line. I have no idea. But when that check goes across the table, the city basically is not involved in that lease any longer. So at some point in time, that lease is going to go away.
So to me, when that check goes across the table, that property is no longer under a lease. It's going to be under fair market value. So that means that somebody just purchased a piece of property at a lease, under a lease appraisal.
Right.
But the moment they accept the check, that property is no longer under the lease, so the property jumps. And according to the article in the paper, it jumps up to $439 million.
Really?
This is, well, this is, by Duff and, I didn't highlight it here, but, it's by one of I believe it's by the company that put together the 175. So the 175 is considering the lease, and then the other option is not considering the lease. And it says with the addition of the 9.18 acres, the value of both parcels, meaning the 5 acre and the 9.18 acres, is at $4.39 million.
That seems kind of a little bit like a giveaway to me. And who's in favor of this? The city council is going to vote for this, is what is happening here?
Well, Mr. Bassetti says that there's a majority of the council, and I think you know where Gary Katz stands, and I think the other guy across town that sells guns is sort of made the same comment, from what I've heard anyway.
So why is it so important to get this to the McConnell Foundation is the question. Why no reporting of it is another question I'd like to get answered.
Well, here's another thing too. The McConnell Foundation, last I heard, let's say they're between $300 and $400 million foundation.
Right.
Which is a ton of money.
Yeah.
Okay. Why would they want to buy something on the cheap? Why would they want to pay the city $75,000? I mean, I don't even understand. They come in and say, okay, we'll give you $2 million and we're going to buy this piece of property. You know, make a fair,
offer, yeah.
Offer
sure.
to it and go from there. But they don't seem to want to do that. They seem to want to buy it on the, and I'm sorry to say it this way, but it's on the cheap. That property is
worth
money.
Why would they buy it at the fair market value? If they're going to be able to get that after they purchase it.
Yeah, but if they can get three members of the council to buy it on the cheap, they can do it that way.
Well, and when I say
no, they've got it.
When I say no reporting of it, I mean, obviously there's an article here in the paper,
mm-hmm.
but they're not dissecting this from a standpoint. It looks like it's just a favorable deal. Let's just sell this to the McConnell's Foundation. It doesn't pick apart any of the real problems to the transaction. And Bassetti's in there saying, oh, it's just like the convention center. One of the convention centers at least.
Totally different.
Yeah, it's like apples and oranges.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
So how can we compare one with the other, number one? And does McConnell Foundation hold that much sway over the city council that they can make these kind of deals with the majority of the members?
You answer that one, Mark.
Hmm.
And do they have any idea what they're going to do with the property? I mean, are they disclosing?
Oh, no. Well, the mayor was said, I've always been a pro-development of some sort, which he is. That's a truthful statement in business. And I like the plans.
Which plans?
Well, that's funny. I don't know that we've ever been told. Of course, I'm speaking sort of the backroom stuff, which I shouldn't talk about now. But we've never been told in the paper or any place else. There's been statements made that they won't say what they're going to do with the property. So I like the plans.
So we know there's a hotel.
What are they?
Well, we know there's a hotel in the planning.
Yeah, but what about the rest of it? You got 9 other acres then. 9.18 other acres to be talked about then.
I don't know.
See?
Yeah.
So. I mean, these are questions that have to be asked. It's
right.
The same thing as talking about maybe, a $200 million unfunded pension. The same thing here.
Would a major league ball team field fit down there?
No. No, that's with the mayor, and that's no.
No, I'm thinking that, you know, I mean, if we, I'm just saying, you know, if we did get the successful state of Jefferson, implemented, and now we're the state of Jefferson, isn't that a great place to put a major league ball team? And we could be the state of Jefferson double crosses. boy, I think, maybe we're pushing a little too hard on that. I don't know. I think we might as well just go ahead and take a break right now, and then we'll come back.
Okay, this is KCNR 1460, Community Radio for the North State.
35, ain't gonna need to tell the truth, tell no lies. Everything you think, do, and say is in the pill you took today. In the year 45, ain't gonna need your teeth, won't need your eyes. Won't find a thing to choose.
nobody's gonna look at you.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Becoming a member of the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce is probably the smartest investment a local business can make. It would be impossible for a company on its own to duplicate the benefits of a chamber membership in the areas of legislative advocacy, workforce development, and economic development, not to mention all of the networking opportunities and business seminars offered. Join a committee, become an ambassador, attend a networking event, then watch your investment in business take off. Join today by calling 225-4433 and get connected.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
Two organizations with the same mission, joined as one. A new community strength to help end domestic and sexual abuse. Multiple services, co-located under the same roof. A new hope for men, women, and children looking for a new beginning. Formerly the Shasta Women's Refuge and the Family Justice Center, now known as One Safe Place.
To help or learn more, please visit us on the web at ospshasta.org.
Can you handle the truth? Are you tired of the mainstream media spin? Do you believe that the economy is recovering? Are you prepared for the economic collapse that's coming? Are you prepared for hyperinflation? Do you think the government will solve your problems? Do you care about your children's future? Are you self-reliant? Will you fight for your freedom? Want solutions? Want the truth? Tune in to 1460 Sovereign Minds Radio now at 8 o'clock on Saturday mornings, where we always handle the truth.
It's a great song. I love the song.
Yeah, I could listen to that whole song. That's a good beat. Good deal. So we're back, Sovereign Mind Radio. We're streaming live at 1460.com. You can go to the chat room at KCNR1460.com and get into the live, listen live, and then go to the chat room. Also, you can Facebook me, and I got a Twitter feed, Facebook me at Mark E. Kent, or you can also go to the Twitter feeds. I've got Tea and Tea Party Tatanka. So, with that, let's, we've got a caller on the line, and we also wanted to correct something before we do that. Go ahead, Gary.
Yeah, if I can, my lovely wife called just a minute ago and told me that I may have made a mistake, so I want to clarify something. As far as the Turtle Bay appraisals, the city of Reading's appraisal was $443,000. The McConnell Foundation's appraisal was $75,000. And then I believe it's Duff and Phelps did the third one, which was both the city and McConnell worked on that one. And it was $175,000. But in reading the article from was in the paper, Duff and Phelps also talked about what would be the fair market value, and that's where I'm coming up with the $4.39 million. And like I said earlier, if the lease were no longer there, that's what the property most probably would be worth.
Well, but isn't that what's happening here? This isn't a lease that they're trying to negotiate. This is a purchase. So how can you base a purchase on a lease appraisal? I mean, that seems like something's wrong. Or is it just me?
No, it's not you. That's the reason why I talk about it. I mean, it's not, we've got problems. We got city. We need more policemen. Actually, what we need is more community service officers. But, we need more firemen on it. We need a lot of different things. And then
We're going to have $200 million short fund in pensions, and we're about ready to sell something, and we're going to give it away.
Government at all levels is just out of control. You know, I'm looking at an article here in front of me. The U.S. government spent $7.45 billion in the last 3 years, allegedly to help other countries cope with global warming. You know, it's at all levels. It seems like you can't turn around where, you know, whether it's city, state, local, federal, everybody seems to have their finger in the pie. And, you know, how can you justify a transaction on a lease agreement that's, you know, highest lease appraisal is $400,000 and some change, but the property's actually worth $4.9 million? And that's a good deal for the city, how?
And right, McConnell wants to purchase it for 73.
And 75.
And 75.
And Bassetti says he has a majority of the council members that are in favor of this? Really? What's going on here? I mean, we know that.
Well, one of the points, Mark, for me being here this morning, of course, was the pension. But then also mentioned earlier, we need to have a conversation. The issue is not going to be on the agenda next Tuesday night for McConnell and Turtle Bay.
So when is
it? It'll be the next meeting. So we've got 2 weeks.
2 weeks. Okay.
The folks need to sit down. Folks need to talk. Folks need to start letting their voice heard. If you need to come to the council meeting, stand up and let the folks know, let the five of us know what it is you want. If you want Turtle Bay and you want them to sell at that price, Mike, come say so.
That it's going to help. I know that a lot of people in the community say, "Well, we've tried that before, and we're not being listened to." Down at city council, you know, that they come in and talk for something. Everybody's for something, and the city council doesn't listen and votes the opposite
direction. How do you do a recall? Maybe we ought to look into that.
Well, that's something I can't talk to.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
Well, I mean, it wouldn't be, you know.
Yeah, we got Billy Bob on the line. We almost forgot about him.
Are you there, Billy Bob?
Buddy. Yes. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
Hey, Gary, I just want to compliment you for your diligence and your utmost steadfastness in your approach to your city council job. And if more people had your intonation and your tenacity, then we wouldn't be in this problem.
And sure, again, I really appreciate that.
McConnell, it's a sham, and everybody knows it, and there won't be a recall. We're just going to send in the city street sweepers to clean that council out if they vote for this. The only solution I can suggest is a public auction, and it will go for $4 million. So I'll take my answer off the air.
Well, I think you're probably right. In fact, I've had people come to me and say, Gary, where do I go to put $450,000 or a $500,000 bid in on that property? And I don't know if the city, I don't know if they went down and talked to the city manager. I don't know what happened there, but I know some folks did mention it to me. But, I appreciate, your compliment. Thank you so much. I told everybody when I ran three times that I was going to be a full-time city councilman and work to help the city of Reading and the people in the city of Reading. And I hope I'm proving that. But thank you, sir.
Very good. Now, my understanding too is that if this goes through, that McConnell's has a stipulation that they want no restrictions on the property at all. It's just just a sell.
The way it's going right now, which has been out in the paper before, there'll be no count of none on deed restrictions. Nothing. See, we could put something. See, the thing with it is the unions are coming. Right. The article talks about the unions are coming. There's going to be a lawsuit. So they're not going to be building any hotel down there anytime soon.
So the lawsuit would be about prevailing wage?
About prevailing wage is what's going to happen. Because the way that the state of California changed prevailing wage this last year in the legislature. So there's nothing we can do about it. We have to live under the rules that we were given. So if we have to live under it, then that's where we're going to go.
So, and then I'm looking at this big deal, this whole deal, the entire structure of it, and it seems to me that there's one party in this whole thing that's losing big.
City of Reading.
Yeah.
Us. The people. The people who live in the city of Reading are taking it in the shorts again.
When I say the city of Reading, I didn't mean the corporate city of Reading. I meant the people in the city. When I think of the city
taxpayers.
Of Reading, I don't think of the corporate. I think of the people, us.
Right.
The people.
Yeah, that seems to be the theme here across the board, whether it's the pensions, whether it's the salaries, whether it's the retirement packages, whether it's these land deals. Doesn't it seem like we've got some officials that are in office here that don't give a rat's behind about serving the people is what it seems like to me. Am I just crazy here?
For their own agenda, it seems like most
seems
of
like
it.
Seems like everybody's got an agenda, and it sure as hell ain't serving the public.
Well, there's another thing, too. You know, we've been talking about having people with REU. We need to raise the wages to attract more people. Well, there's only one problem. If you go to Google and you Google. I'm sorry.
That's all right. Everybody's had that nasty.
Yep.
If you Google municipal electric utilities engineers, you'll find out that they are the largest group of people on unemployment.
Google who? What was that again? Google?
Google the electrical engineer.
Electrical engineer.
For municipal plants.
For municipal plants.
Power plants.
Yeah.
Okay. And you will find that of the unemployment figures, they are by far the largest group. If that's the case, why are we paying up here, which is what they're trying to do, when there's so many of them out of work?
Yeah.
Well, but again, is there something wrong here?
Yeah. The what it is the market can't pay prevailing wage, number one, or they'd be out there working constantly. And we're going through, this is, you know, all kidding aside, all the BS, all the talking points, all of the spin. We're not in a recession. We're in a freaking depression here. Mm-hmm. And it's going to get worse because as the 10-year climbs up, you're going to start seeing more and more interest paid on these.
We don't even have time to go talk about carbon, that whole mess. And the thing with it is, I'm understanding now that some of the trucking companies are starting to raise their rates. So all your food and goods were coming in that used to cost you $1.298 are now going to cost you $1.398.
Well, the real answer to all this is the people, you know, they're going to suffer out there, but do you want to wait and suffer ridiculously harder times than we need to? Or are you going to start getting involved in local politics? Are you going to start getting involved in the solutions, which are participation by the people? That what is our government is based on is people need to start participating in their own government and watching what these guys are doing so you can see what they're doing and get them voted out of there.
Government works best when the people lead.
Yeah.
Government works best when the people lead. Folks, before we go, I want to say one thing again. I want to repeat myself. I have a 2-page CalPERS, PARS, pension piece of paper in front of me, a document I put together here some months ago. If anybody out there wants to talk about this, would like a copy of it, please contact me. You can send me to my email at the city, and it'll get forwarded to me. Let me know, because now's the time we need to have a conversation. If we don't have this conversation, 1516 is going to hit us, and then we're going to start paying, and it's going to start accelerating, and you are not going to believe what's going to happen.
Pry your butts up off the couch and start getting involved here. Yeah. That's really the answer to all this stuff. You know, is it more important to play games on your cell phone, or is it more important to understand that your government is taking advantage of everything across the board, and you will be living like the paupers in the Zorro movie here pretty soon if you're not careful? Anybody got anything to add to that? Maybe that's a little over the top.
I think
it's the truth.
Yeah.
You know, we've been talking about it for a long time, so.
Well,
okay, Savannah's trying to choke me over here.
We've got to stop whispering about it. We've got to start yelling it.
Absolutely.
Yes, we do.
So I guess we're coming down to the end of the show. Anybody got anything else to say before I do the last quote?
No. Nope. I just want to thank Gary for coming in and keeping us informed on this, and we'll have you back again.
You guys are – I did good enough to come back.
You might.
You guys are always fun to come in and
next,
talk to.
Next week, we're going to have a guy from Montana who is doing some stuff on smart meters, and he's going to be talking about how to offset the smart meter program with a new device that he's come up with, and he's a friend of mine. So we will talk to him. His name is Dale Erickson. And with that, I guess we're out of time. So,
okay.
Very good. Don't die. Don't die. You were born an original. Don't die a copy. Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. It is force. And force like fire is a dangerous servant and fearful master.
This is KCNR 1460, home of the Free Fire Media.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. You could say it's the rise before the fall when it comes to the temperature in the northeastern part of the country after a major snowstorm that brought in bone-chilling temperatures and killed 16 people. It will warm up a bit, but not for long, and it will all start in the Midwest.
Got a large portion of the Dakotas into Minnesota, northern Iowa, Wisconsin, parts of the UP and Michigan where they won't see, will see temperatures well below zero.
That's National Weather Service forecaster Bruce Sullivan. Forecasters say the big freeze will be good for 2 days or so of hardship before it begins to warm up again. President Obama devoting his weekly radio and internet address today to calling on Congress to vote once again to extend unemployment benefits.
Just a few days after Christmas, more than 1 million of our fellow Americans lost a vital economic lifeline, the temporary insurance that helps folks make ends meet while they look for a job.
That was a topic.